Mr. Grummidge, sir, what is the captain's name? Mr. Grummidge stopped again, frowning in an irritated fashion, but all the same consulted his paper. Captain Jaggery, he announced, and once more turned to go.
Here!
The porter exclaimed suddenly. He had come up close and overheard our talk. Both Mr. Grummidge and I looked about.
Did you say Captain Jaggery?
The porter demanded. Are you addressing me? Mr. Grummidge inquired, making it perfectly clear that if so, the porter had committed a serious breach of decorum.
I was, the man said, talking over my head. And I'm asking if I heard right when you said we was going to a ship mastered by a certain Captain Jaggery.
He spoke the name Jaggery as if it were something positively loathsome.
I was not addressing you, Mr. Grummidge informed the man. But I hears you all the same, the porter went on.
And so saying, he swung my trunk down upon the dock with such a ferocious crack that I feared it would snap in two.
I don't intend to take one more step toward anything to do with a Mr. Jaggery. Not for double gold. Not one more step. See here, Mr. Grummidge cried with indignation. You undertook... Never mind what I undertook, the man retorted. It's worth more to me to avoid that man than to close with your coin.
And without another word, he marched off.
Stop! I say, stop! Mr. Grummidge called.
It was in vain. The porter had gone, and quickly at that. Mr. Grummidge and I looked at each another. I hardly knew what to make of it, nor clearly did he. Yet he did what he had to do. He surveyed the area in search of a replacement.
There, you man,
he cried to the first who passed by, a huge laboring fellow in a smock.
Here's a shilling if you can carry this young lady's trunk.
The man paused, looked at Mr. Grummidge, at me, at the trunk.
That?
He asked disdainfully. I'll be happy to add a second shilling, I volunteered, thinking that a low offer was the problem.
Miss Doyle, Mr. Grummidge snapped, let me handle this.
2 shillings,
the workman said quickly.
1, Mr. Grummidge countered.
2,
the workman repeated, and held his hand out to Mr. Grummidge, who gave him but 1 coin. Then the man turned and extended his hand to me. Hastily, I began to extract a coin from my reticule.
Miss Doyle, Mr. Grummidge objected.
I did promise, I whispered, and dropped the coin into the man's upturned palm.
Right you are, miss, said the porter with a tip of his hat. May the whole world follow your fashion,